Welcome to Sick, I Swear.
Well, I'm super excited. I can't wait to get
Thank
into it.
you for being here. Seriously, thank you for sharing your story. Let's get into your journey. Where did you start? How long have you been ill?
For sure. So everything for me, I mean, you say it starts, whenever the date is, but it's always you notice symptoms and you're like, maybe it started a lot sooner than then. And for me, I feel like my whole world started collapsing in March of 2024. So last year, I had one hospital visit that just kind of sent me over the edge. And I was like, something is wrong with my body and I don't feel right. And so that's when I started seeing symptoms. And from there, it's been a waterfall effect. And I never thought I would be here in 2025 having to deal with these same symptoms and progressively sometimes getting worse, sometimes getting better. But my journey started in 2024. So I'm fortunate to have gotten a diagnosis as fast as I did. I know there are people that have waited years and years, but for me, I'm the type of person who's going to continue to search for answers, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I pushed and pushed until I got my diagnosis, and I'm thankful for that, but it has been super challenging.
What were your symptoms?
So my first symptoms were actually chest pain, like sharp upper left, and I think that's a commonality across the board. Super sharp chest pain. And I've always had kind of like indigestion issues, GI issues. So I was like, oh, maybe it's digestion. And that night I rolled in bed for hours, just like, something is wrong. Am I having a heart attack? Like that, this just doesn't feel right. And I woke up my husband and I said, I need to go to the ER. Something is wrong with my body. So he brought me to the ER, and of course they see you and they're like, she doesn't look like she's having a heart attack, like I'm 31, like, and a female, so typically like a heart attack wouldn't be something that they would suspect. And it was an interesting hospital visit. We were there for probably like 6 or 7 hours. They ran a lot of tests. I was pretty impressed that first visit that I had, but they ruled out that it was a heart attack and sent me on my way and told me it was probably like a food allergy or something like that. And I
Okay, so
believed them.
they didn't say it was anxiety at that point.
Well, I've had anxiety on my chart for a very long time.
That's the
And I think
thing.
that's a commonality with a lot of women specifically suffering with this is we all have anxiety just to some extent. And so, I mean, I think my first diagnosed anxiety was like 15 or 16. So I was pretty young when I had anxiety, been diagnosed with anxiety. And so, yeah, they saw that and they said, well, it could be anxiety, but we think it's digestion or some sort of like acid reflux. So they referred me to like a GI specialist at that time. And then they did celiac tests and then some other testing. And that all came back normal. But they suggested that I change my diet to like gluten-free, dairy-free, and cut back on caffeine, which are all things that I do now. I'm not gluten-free anymore because that didn't really help me specifically. But I try to be dairy-free and I don't drink caffeine. But yeah, the GI doctor got the referral and they actually denied me to getting in and said that the symptoms weren't strong enough for me to get in and get testing. And they said,
Classic.
yeah, classic. So essentially, I was just kind of like sent on my way to deal with whatever was GI at that time.
So it was the ER visit, GI specialist. What then led you into, did you go to cardiologist? Did you get into like a POTS specialist? How did you get that diagnosis?
Yeah, so my March was crazy. I went into the ER and then I had been focusing on a lot of stuff like career-wise. I was working on launching a new brand. I'm in marketing. I still work full time and at the time it was crazy because my job was changing. We were launching a brand. I flew out to New York for that and I got COVID. So I was sick, not feeling well, having all this happening. And then I got back and my body was like, nope.
Done.
And yeah, I was so done. I think I ended up back in the ER with like sharp stomach pain. And so I went into the ER. They ran more tests. They ran CT scans. They had thought maybe I had a blood clot because I was on hormonal birth control at the time and I was having like weird symptoms that could be blood clot. So they ran more tests, sent me back home, and that was that. And then I just kind of lived with these symptoms for a very long period of time until July of, well, I should back up. I went into a general practitioner doctor because I was like, I need somebody to help me with what's going on. And of course, she saw anxiety on my chart and she diagnosed me with an SSRI. And I had been on an SSRI when I was younger. I was on Zoloft and it worked fine for me, but it was not something I wanted to be on long term. I'm super medication sensitive, so I just don't like being on a ton of medication. And so I started this SSRI and it was the worst experience of my life. I thought I was, I think to some degree, it gave me some sort of like serotonin syndrome or something because I didn't sleep for days, probably 72 hours when I first took it.
Girl.
Wake up with like nightmares. I was going into like a psychosis. And
Doing
so
the opposite effect here.
exactly. So I stayed on it for 4 weeks because that's what she told me to do. And then I weaned off of it. And I was like, nope, not doing that. And then I decided at the time I was going to get off hormonal birth control as well to see if like maybe it was hormone related. So I did those two things. And then my June was decent. I was feeling okay. Like I had weird symptoms, but it was not as bad as it had been. And then July 1st of 2024 hit me like bricks because I woke up and my vision was completely changed. Everything looked zoomed out.
Oh.
So I couldn't see and I was starting to like lose my vision. I would be on the computer, everything would just go blurry. I didn't know what was happening. And it was really scary. So I went into an eye doctor and they ran a bunch of tests and they found out that my optic nerve was swollen. So it was kind of like this weird thing where they told me that typically happens with patients that have MS. So at the time, my husband and I were like, do I have MS? I need to get into a neurologist. So what I did was I once again lived with what was happening.
Yeah.
I think I saw an ENT at the time. She was like, it's probably vertigo. It could be from, you know, I had tubes as a kid. I had different ear problems, so maybe it's something to do with that. And she sent me on my way. And then the most life-changing moment for me was the beginning of August. My husband and I went to a movie. We came home and I was typing in our garage door code and I fell and I collapsed and I completely blacked out. I don't remember a single thing that happened. I just remember being in the hospital. At that time, we had been through so many doctor's appointments, so many hospital visits. It just was to the point where something is wrong.
You're
And
exhausted and you're at a point where you're at your breaking point. So you have like no more energy in you to like advocate for yourself. Like just figure it out. Something's wrong.
yeah, it was heartbreaking. It was, and not to mention like the fear of just like nothing being in your like just blacking out and then not remembering something and then just feeling like hopeless. You just feel like what is going to happen? And so yeah, that I ended up in the hospital that night. It was a very long night. I think I was there for like 8 hours and the hospital that he brought me to, because he wanted to bring me to like the best hospital that there was. He drove, I think, like 40 minutes to get there. And then it was so full that there was no rooms. So I was actually like in the hallway, which
Wait,
is,
okay. Wait, you're in Minnesota, right? What
yeah.
part of Minnesota?
I'm in like the northern suburbs, but he brought me to St. Paul, which is like a 35-minute drive from me.
What? So I'm from, I say I'm from Minneapolis, but I'm from like Hudson.
Oh my
Yeah.
God, I'm going there today for my nephew's basketball game.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that. So like I'm very familiar with like the hospital systems over there, and I started my journey in like Mayo and Regions and like the big health partner system. So was it Regions that you went to, or yeah.
Yes, it
Okay.
was Regions. Yep, he brought me to Regions. So, that's so interesting because like my whole story actually is through like Regions Health Partners. But yeah, so he brought me there and it was tough. You know how overcrowded the hospitals at Regions can be, and they're
Oh yeah.
fantastic. They're fantastic, and that's why he wanted to bring me there because they are the best of the best, but it's hard to get in. So he brought me there and essentially that was my breaking point because my doctor, when I finally spoke to her, she ran like the physical tests or whatever. And she said, she was the first doctor to say to me, "I don't know if you have heard about this, but I think you have POTS." She
All
said,
right.
"It's happening in a lot of women. We've had a ton of women come in with these same symptoms." And what she had been doing was referring them to neurology just to make sure it wasn't a brain tumor or something like that, but then also to discover like what we can do about POTS. So she was like my saving grace at that point.
She really validated what was going on and gave
Yeah.
you a little bit of an answer.
Truly, truly. Like I could cry because that doctor. It was just like, oh my gosh. And the crazy thing about all of this is that my mom had a friend who had POTS 20 years ago. She had been fighting to get a diagnosis for years. And she worked with her, and she said she remembers her friend would always have to leave work, and she was always feeling just horrible. And she felt so bad for her. And at the time, like work wasn't accommodating, and it was just like a different situation. So now her friend is thriving. And that's like, that gives me so much hope because it's like, somebody that's had it for 20 years and like now her friend travels and like lives a normal life. And so my mom had mentioned POTS to me like in the beginning. My mom has like great intuition and she's just like one of those people that I don't know. She's like, we have a connection to each other. And she was just like, I think you have POTS. And then what do you know? And it ended up being POTS.
Told ya.
It told you. Exactly. So that doctor, she gave me hope, and that was what I needed in that moment. And she told me, look, getting into, because it was the neuroscience center in St. Paul
Yep.
that I went to. Is that where you went as
Yeah,
well?
that's like I lived there.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Oh my gosh. We have limited doctors, you know, we have limited neurosurgeons, and they're busy. So getting into that clinic, they told me would be about 3 months. And so I prepared. I think I was supposed to get in like October or something. And I put myself on a waiting list. And by some miracle, they called me that week and they said, a spot opened up at 7 a.m. Are you going to take it? And I said, absolutely. Like,
Dropping everything.
but so I dropped everything. I met with the doctor and he agreed. He was like, I think you do have POTS. Let's do like the sit stand test. So basically, he had me sit and stand consecutively, like for 3 minutes, 6 minutes, and then 10 minutes. And then he checked my blood pressure at the time and he documented everything, which is really nice because I have that now, like at that point in time. And he diagnosed me. Like I didn't do a tilt table test because there wasn't one there, but he put it in my chart and I'm like, okay. And he handed me a packet and sent me on my way, but that was it. You know, there wasn't really like anything he could do. He's like, hey, I'll give you a beta blocker. You can try it.
Did you?
I didn't.
I didn't either.
Still haven't tried it to this day.
It's just sitting there.
Yeah, he gave me metoprolol. And
Okay.
I've read tons of great things, but I've also read not so great things. And I'm so medication sensitive with everything that happened with the anxiety medication.
Totally, and I don't blame you.
Exactly. So, yeah, he basically diagnosed me, but then he also sent me to a neuro-ophthalmologist because of all the vision problems I was having.
Okay.
And he was like, I want you to get an MRI on your neck and your head because I had had pain in the right side of my neck for a while. And then he also just wanted to make sure, it's not MS because of all the other stuff I was having with my eyes. So I went in back into Regions like a week later, got an MRI, and they found a brain cyst, actually. That was a little shocking because I wasn't expecting that. And so I have a pineal cyst, which is a region of your brain that they aren't super familiar with. It's not a region that has like a specific duty, but it does help control hormones and it does help control sleep, melatonin, and there's a lot of different things. So I have a cyst that may grow, it may spontaneously disappear, but neurologists aren't concerned about those cysts, which can be a good thing or a bad thing, because if you go on the Facebook groups, there are people that are suffering with these cysts that are living really, really difficultly. And I believe that was the issue with my vision. But we'll never know. We'll never know. And I think, I mean, I had posted a video on TikTok about a pineal cyst and POTS, and I had a lot of people comment saying they also have that. So could be related.
So, is the cyst up on nerves or anything? Like, could it potentially cause the dysautonomia? I mean, that it would kind of make sense.
Mine isn't touching any nerves, I
Okay.
don't think. But again, I can't, it's so hard to read the scans, and the neurologist will only give you so much information. So basically, he's like, we don't think it's doing anything. Come back in a year and get rescanned.
Are you doing yearly scans then, just to kind of make sure nothing, because it can grow, right?
Mine's pretty big. It's like 2 centimeters or something, which is like decently big when you think about something.
Damn.
And they can't remove it. There's 2 surgeons in the United States that will remove this because it's like the dead center of your brain.
And then what are the side effects of that?
Yeah, and there's people who've gotten the surgery because they absolutely have to, and there are side effects for sure. I mean, if I can opt out of surgery, if I can opt out of medication, then I'm gonna do it
You're gonna do
because,
it.
yeah.
So, what was your, they sent you home with a packet. What was your treatment? What did they say to do?
He told me to take the beta blocker, and then there was some like physical therapy exercises, and he was like, good luck. That was it. I mean, I got no direction at all. And so I went home and I was like, okay. And I ended up going to that neuro-ophthalmologist. They found out my optic nerve actually isn't swollen and the images were not taken correctly. So that was a whole thing. And then, yeah, I think I ended up getting COVID in September, but it wasn't as bad as March. My symptoms have stayed pretty steady since then. I followed back up with that doctor, the neurologist. He referred me to a cardiologist, and that's when I wore the Holter monitor, and they didn't say much about it. I mean, the cardiologist is not like super, I don't know. I feel like they don't have enough research or information to really understand what POTS is
Right.
because they don't give you, they're just like, well, it's under 2%, what could be something that is dangerous, but it's okay for your heart to go from 80 to 160.
Totally fine.
I'm like, 20 times a day? Like, I don't know. So there was that, and like I had lost hope, to finding answers at that point. But I did go back to the neurologist, and he did refer me to a POTS specialist. I think this is
Good.
one of the POTS specialists in Minnesota. And this is with the U of M.
Okay.
But I can't get in until July. So I am on a wait. I'm on a wait list. Hopefully I get in sooner. But yeah, that's kind of my next steps at this point. I'm gonna get the tilt table test because I feel like it's needed. And then I'm hoping that the POTS specialist can narrow down like my version of POTS because there's so many different versions and like why it's happening for people and everyone's symptoms are so different. So I just want to hone in on that and really understand what's happening in my body.
So many people have so many different symptoms, and for a lot of different reasons as to why it happened. But I agree, there's so many people that are developing POTS or are coming down with POTS, and it's very interesting. And I don't know, like, do you feel like COVID had anything to do with like throwing your system off and launching you into POTS?
I do feel that way. I think that everybody's body is so different in how they react. I think there's no coincidence in that how many cases have spiked since COVID, specifically in women. I think we just don't know enough at this point.
Right.
And for me personally, I think COVID took what was already in my body, what was already struggling in my body, and exacerbated it. And that's what it did for me and potentially other people as well.
Just kind of kept you in a state of trauma.
Exactly. And like I said, I don't think that it was a flip of a switch by any means. I think I had had symptoms for years, but then they just got worse.
Did you feel like doctors just had lack of information as to what was going on, or did you feel like you were getting gaslit?
I felt like it was that they just like didn't have any information. I mean, there was definitely gaslighting and like seeing that I had anxiety and just being like, okay, well, anxiety can act exacerbate your symptoms, so just like try to stay calm or, those types of things. But overall, it's just like I feel like there really is a lack of information, a lack of research, a lack of understanding it with the female body in general. Like just going into a doctor as a female and asking for a hormone test is a whole thing. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be that we should know exactly what is going on in our bodies at all times, and we should be able to make educated decisions based on that.
And I truly do think that we are our own experts on our bodies because we do know it best, and we know when something's off. And like you said, like your mom with the intuition, like we have our own intuition as well to feel like, okay, like I really do feel like it could be this, and to take that as factual information at that point.
Exactly. Yeah, I had told my husband when all of this was going on, back in the spring. I had told him I really think there's something happening in my body, and it was just like this intuition, this feeling of something doesn't feel right, and I don't know why.
Yep, and we're so is POTS the only diagnosis that you have at this point?
So the pineal cyst, and then
Yes.
POTS, and right now I'm exploring endometriosis. I have some pretty intense symptoms, and I don't want to claim to be an expert on endo because I don't know a lot, so I'm still learning with the community. But I had gone into my doctor a couple weeks ago, and she is an endo expert, and she thinks that I definitely have it, but I'm gonna have to figure out if I want to do the surgery here. And it's a tough one, so I don't know. That's kind of my next step. Some people in my comment section have said, have you explored MCAS? Have you explored EDS? And those are all things that potentially I could have. I have a lot of the symptoms, but I'm taking it a step at a time because that's all I can handle mentally right now.
100%. It's a
And
lot.
it's a lot. It's a lot. And I have some pretty intense, like multi-skeletal back issues that I'm working out. So I'm like coinciding all of that along with my pot stuff. And I'm just trying to take everything a day at a time.
Yeah, and like the POTS, the endo, the EDS, the MCAS, like it all kind of ties together, and it seems to be kind of like, if you have one, chances are you have more.
Exactly. So I'm sure that I will be exploring those things in the near future.
Okay, so I saw a video. You are exploring functional medicine. How long have you been doing functional medicine?
Yeah, so functional medicine was something that I had thought about since honestly before this, because I like the more holistic route. I'm, like I said, not somebody who takes a lot of medication. I'm honestly not somebody who does a lot of supplements, which I know is more the functional medicine route anyways. But I love something that's natural, and I love something that's like a little bit more holistic. So I Googled a functional medicine doctor, and there was one down my street, like no joke, down the road from me. And I'm like, this is interesting. I click on her bio, and her experience was with chronic illness. And I'm like, that's wonderful. So I booked an appointment with her, and she was amazing. And I think for the first time, I felt like somebody was listening to my symptoms and like piecing it and trying to put it all together, and that she actually cared about what was happening with my body versus just like spending 20 minutes with me and then sending me on my way. Of course, functional medicine costs money. It's out of pocket, so it's not cheap, and it can be difficult to try to financially figure that out. But I so far it's been good. I haven't really dived super deep into it yet. I've met with her probably 4 or 5 times, and at this point, we're just trying to figure out where my baseline is and what's causing, me to have 10 episodes a day or 20 episodes a day or 5. So she had put me on a plan that was like an electrolyte plan to figure out what works and what doesn't. So I was doing electrolytes 3 times a day and then drinking a lot of water with it.
Jugs on top of jugs.
More water I have ever drank in my life. But so far, I mean, I like working with her because I just like somebody pulling everything together and then helping me figure it out. And I don't feel like I'm alone. I don't feel like I'm just going to be sent to, just kind of have to live with it. Like, she really does help me in that way. Even if it is like an emotional support thing, I feel like it's effective. So yeah, the electrolyte thing for me, because I'm so sensitive with different medications, immediately, like in the first 2 weeks, I started to like balloon up. Like, my legs were swelling, my hands were swelling, my face was swelling. And she's like, okay, let's cut back. And then we eventually cut back to where now I only do it as needed, and I only have like one packet a day as needed, because I just can't handle it. So that's kind of where I'm at now. She's putting together like supplements that will be like specifically for POTS, and I don't know the science behind this, but like there's like valerian root, there's licorice, and there's a bunch of like different, she calls it like a POTS tincture, that have been successful with people.
I've heard that.
Yeah, and I think that it's interesting. I'm gonna try it because I'm open to trying everything, but I'm waiting to see, how my body is, and I think I'm not ready yet to start that, but I will probably in the spring.
For me personally, functional medicine was like my absolute game changer, lifesaver. I don't think I would be as managed as I am now, if I hadn't gone to functional medicine. For your electrolytes, do you do LMNT?
I don't. I went through a journey of trying every electrolyte I possibly could get my hands on that didn't break the bank. LMNT, for some reason, made me have like really bad heart palpitations. And I believe,
Really?
yeah. And I think for me, it was the, sh I know it's sugar free, but there's an ingredient in there called maltodextrin. And I don't know how it works specifically in your body, but I know it can process like sugar. So it will imitate in your body like sugar. And My body didn't like it, so I had to switch away from that one. And then I tried several other ones as well, and there wasn't really anything that worked for me until my functional medicine doctor recommended a brand called Designs by Health.
I haven't heard of that one.
It's like a functional medicine. It's well known in that community. And it's like a lemony flavor. It doesn't have sugar, it doesn't have maltodextrin, and then I believe it has potassium and magnesium as well. So that has been helpful, and that one I really like, and you can get it on Amazon. So that's what I've been doing for now.
I'm gonna be ordering that up because I'm like down to try everything that works, different electrolytes, see what I like best. And I think the electrolytes really has helped me in my POTS for sure.
Yeah, one other thing that really helps me is TikTok convinced me to get an Apple Watch before I had an Oura Ring.
Okay.
And the Oura Ring doesn't track like real time. Like it will track in segments of like 5 minutes, I believe. And so it's super accurate, but it doesn't show like what's happening in the moment. And so I got the Apple Watch and I downloaded the app Tachymon. And now in real time, I can see what my heart rate is. I can see if I walk up the stairs, if it shoots up to 160, I know I have to sit down because I can see that I potentially could pass out, and it will tell me that. It will vibrate when it gets too high, which has been a game changer for me.
Okay, I need to take that information too, and I need to get myself an Apple Watch, I guess.
Yeah, I was like so against Apple Watch. I was like, oh, I don't need it. It's too
Yeah.
expensive. And now I feel like this has been the best treatment for me because I'm able to see and track how many times a day my heart rate gets super high, and then I'm able to stop those moments where I feel like I could pass out, which is amazing. My cardiologist did say too, like they can accept those reports, so I can upload the reports and send it to him if I'm having like serious episodes.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. So then you have like your information too. You're bringing in facts.
Exactly. Like they don't have to believe you because the facts are right there, you know, me.
Literally on paper.
And like I think that's what cardiologists need is data. And so anyway, I can like back that up. I'm gonna do it.
So you're still working.
Yes. I
How
still
is
work full time.
that been?
It has its ups and downs for sure. I work primarily from home. And that's great. My brain fog is so bad.
No, yep, get it.
My company is super accommodating. I am very lucky in that way. They've seen the whole process and the whole journey. Like I said, we were launching a brand. So when everything started and they saw it all happen, and they're amazing. So I'm super lucky in that way. And
Good.
I do love to be able to work still as well, even if I'm just like sitting at home or I'm on my couch or whatever it is. There are good days where I'm like, okay, I really want to like do something and I want to make a difference in the world. So it's been good.
Advocating, especially when it comes to, well, especially when it comes to like POTS and things that are like newer and people aren't necessarily very aware about. The more information out there, the better. And doing our part, even if it's a little video here and there, like it really does go a long way.
Yeah, and I feel really, my heart is heavy because if TikTok does not come back, I know that there are a lot of people that make their income off of TikTok in this community, and that we need a platform. We need a platform to be able to speak on what is happening and to be able to advocate. So I was so excited that people were listening to me when I was talking about it. I didn't know the community was so strong. I wish I would have started posting about it years, or not even years, but like when it started happening.
Right.
I can't believe it took me so long. And then, you know, a couple months ago, I was like, I'm at a point where I need to talk about what's happened because there are other people who are in my shoes, who feel alone, who have nobody to talk to, who don't have a support system. And they need to know what's happening to them, you know, and hear from other people. And that's exactly what the creators on TikTok did for me. I followed a lot of people and they helped me. And I wanted to do the same for others.
Yeah, I mean, I really felt seen, and so did so many other people. And realizing how big the community actually is, though, like, I didn't realize there was that many people that struggle. And it's a good reminder that we're not, it sucks that that many people struggle, right? But it's a good reminder that we're not alone in this. What is one, like, biggest misconception that you feel like people have about POTS?
That it is only a heart condition, that it only affects your heart. It is a full body condition. There are so many symptoms that are outside of just like feeling chest pain, having your heart raise. I mean, my vision issues were a big example of that.
Yeah.
And even like chronic just pain in general can be part of POTS. Or sleep, not being able to sleep and waking up in the middle of the night and just feeling like overwhelming. It can heighten your anxiety too. And it is really a full body, I guess you could say, syndrome. It is a full body thing. And it's not just your heart rate. And so somebody who maybe a family member or, a support system of someone who has POTS, do your due diligence to really understand it fully, because the person that you know is suffering with so many different aspects of their health. And I really wish that that was talked about a little bit more.
I think you said that perfectly, because as much as it's a physical condition, our mental health is completely involved as well, and it definitely heightens the anxiety. It heightens, I mean, depression for me personally, and I know a lot of other people too deal with that. And you just feel hopeless a lot of the times, especially when you're in a big flare. And having the support system, do you feel like you have a good support system?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super fortunate to have the family that I do. I have two sisters, and people in my family have also suffered through chronic illness. So it is something we talk about, 90% of the time in our
Good.
family, which is great. I mean, not great, but it's also great to be able to relate to each other with that. My husband has been a phenomenal support system. He has helped me every single day be able to function. I could cry. My dogs are my babies. Like, I am an avid dog lover. They have been my support system. So even like something as simple as that, where it's like you're feeling alone, if you're an animal lover, get a pet, because they're like, they're just lovers. I just thought I saw your cat walk by.
It's like we're free range over here. There's like so many animals.
I love it so much. One thing that got me through the hardest time was fostering. I
You
fostered.
fostered.
I did. During one of the hardest flares in August, and he will forever be part of me. Because he helped me get through the hardest time. And I'm going to be embarrassing and just cry.
No, there's so this is a safe space. We cry all the time, so.
It's okay to cry and have emotions. And like, that's the biggest thing for me is like, I was a super emotional kid. And I've learned as growing up and like becoming an adult that crying is okay. And like, just feel what you're feeling, feel it in the moment and like let it happen, because
What's
you
the
don't want to.
point of bottling it up?
Exactly. So yeah, my support system consists of that. I have great friends, and I also have a therapist, and I think everyone should consider going to therapy if you're going through chronic illness, because not only will your therapist be able to help you with navigating all of this stuff that you're navigating, but like bringing up past issues and trauma and just like, I don't know, overall, like becoming and seeing what you want for your future. I just think that therapy is so important.
I agree 100%. I think anybody that is really struggling in general, but especially when it comes to chronic illness and the layer of heaviness that it adds to your daily life, being able to have an outlet that is able to help you on the mental level, especially like you said, digging through your past stuff. Like, you never know, that could help some sort of symptom. I feel like I've experienced that where I've dived back into my childhood or back into my past, and things kind of just start to make sense a little bit, where it rewires my brain in a sense of like, it doesn't take my chronic illness away, right? But it makes me understand a lot more going forward. And yeah, I think everybody should hit up a therapist.
Yeah, don't be scared to try one because I've gone through many and I just think you have to find your right fit.
Yep. And that's, I think a lot of people do try one therapist and go, oh, they're shit, they suck. But finding truly your right fit is a huge game changer, and you're gonna page through them for sure. I've been through many too, and I think talking about the mental health side of chronic illness is absolutely essential.
Like you said, it's not going to take it away, but will it help ease your anxiety and help you find different ways to cope with stressful situations? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, wait, but I'm like going back to this fostering thing.
Yes.
Do you still foster, or did you foster once?
So that was our first foster, and I would do it every single time. I would do it every single day if I could, but living in Minnesota, as you know, it's really cold and it's hard to foster when it's cold. It's hard to have dogs when it's cold. So, I think we'll do it again this summer if I can convince my husband. He loved it too. It was just like really hard to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And having three, I don't think is a permanent solution for us, but if we can change the lives of, 20 dogs, that would be like the dream. And yeah, Hobson was our foster and he was perfect in every single way, but he found an amazing home with a woman who spoils him like no other, and he was her soul dog, and I accepted that.
It's so rewarding too, and I'm sure it's like just a rush of dopamine when you see that.
Yeah.
I really want to foster too. Like, I've been wanting to foster for I think 2 years, and at first it was like, I want to do a pregnant dog and have puppies, and I'm like, okay, that like one step at a time here. And I'm like, we'll do a cat with kittens, and that's like my dream. I would absolutely love to do that. And there's been like a lot of people that go like, girl, you can't even take care of yourself. How are you going to take care of these animals? And I'm like, it's so different. Like, they really do add such a layer of warmth and like joy and something to look forward to and purpose. And as much as it looks like it's a lot of hard work, which it is, don't get me wrong. Like, just because there's chronic illness doesn't mean you can't do those things.
Absolutely. And I think that if you can help an animal or help them through a tough time, it almost gives you like this sense of hope as well. Like, well, you're going through
Yeah.
something hard. The foster that we had, he had heartworm. And
Oh.
so I was helping him with his medications and his treatments. And it like brought everything full circle. I was able to watch him thrive, and then honestly, that was like my turning point. Like, I was able to thrive after that. So,
Oh my God, I have chills. Like, I want to cry. Like, that's
I highly recommend it. And even if you are somebody who suffers with chronic illness, I think we're still able to do so much in this world to make a difference. And I highly recommend it. I think it's amazing.
I love the direction that this went. We went to animals. That's just incredible.
I'm a big dog lover. I love cats too, but I will always talk about my animals.
They're my babies.
100%.
So, when it comes to the mental health aspect, what do you do for self-care?
So, of course, we talked about therapy. Therapy is important, but then it's like beyond therapy, what do you do? And recently, I've been getting really into meditation.
Yes.
I'm obsessed with that, and it can be as simple as like looking up a YouTube video and just like doing a 5-minute meditation, or going on Spotify or whatever music channel you listen to, and just like looking up peaceful music and then just doing breathing. Breathing is so important to like regulating your nervous system, and I think at the root of everything is like if you have POTS, regulating your nervous system is like
Crucial.
it's we need to be doing. So, for me, it's when I am able to do that, I do it and I just let go and I let my body just relax and get to the most relaxed state as I can. And that is the best self-care that I think I've experienced. But I also like, I love beauty and I love doing things like just if I'm able and feeling good for the day, like putting on makeup. And like I said, I cut my own bangs. I cut my own hair all the time. I just do like fun things to make me feel good, even if I'm sitting at home. Like
Yes, and you're slaying.
I'm just doing it. And that's a huge part of like my self-care and just making myself feel like I feel better, and I love to do those things. Yeah.
I can attest to that. Like, even if I'm feeling like garbage, at least I can make myself look and feel a little bit more presentable than I feel inside.
Yes, and I recently just bought a vanity because I was getting ready standing up, like doing my hair standing up, and my heart rate would go crazy.
Yeah.
And so I bought a vanity, and now I sit at my vanity, and it's like I just feel like it's so much, it feels like self-care. I just feel like I could sit here and do my hair slowly and like put some lipstick on. And that to me is just, it's the best.
It's my Zen space, okay?
Exactly. But beyond that, like if it's summertime, we're boat people. We live, right next to the lake, and that was what we did every single day before I got sick. And I'm hoping this summer we'll be able to go on the boat and do some fishing or just relax, and we'll take it a day at a time. But if we can get back there, that would be amazing for me.
In true Minnesotan fashion.
In true Minnesota fashion.
I love it.
A lake, a boat, a dog, all the things.
Yes. What would be the thing you would tell your younger self going into this journey if you could?
I would tell myself that no matter what happens, you're going to be okay. And
Period.
you could go through the worst day of your life or the best day of your life. Like tomorrow is a new day, and you have a new day to just start over. No matter what happens, you have yourself. Take care of yourself. Focus on you, focus on self-care, and do everything that you can to make yourself a priority. Because for a long time, I think I didn't make me a priority, and I just kind of, lived life, and I didn't think about my health twice in my 20s. And now that's all I can think about. So if I could just tell myself that no matter what happens, everything will be okay, I think that would be what I would say.
You've gotten through it before, you can get through it again.
Exactly. And even if your life changes, like this might be your purpose. And that's like a big part of this for me is when I started posting about things, I was like, maybe this is my purpose in life. Like it's all starting to make sense for me. So
Yeah.
you never know.
Well, where can we find you?
Sarah, Sare dot Nicole, NicoleE. The same username, Sarah Nicole is on YouTube. I'm gonna start vlogging, I think.
Yes.
Yes. So I think I'm gonna start vlogging more of like long format content, documenting my journeys.
Yep.
And then this morning I started an Instagram account. I'm like, okay, I guess I have to do it. So
I'm so excited for this YouTube. I'm kind of thinking the same. Like, I'm gonna start documenting my journey more, like going to the doctor's appointments and like how many doctor's appointments we actually endure. Like, and then what it looks like on a daily basis too.
I think YouTube is it's going to come back, and I think it's such a great place for information already. So, try it out and see what happens.
I love it. Thank you for spending your brain energy here talking about this. And I love that we connected off of being from Minnesota too. Like, that's, I love that. And so I like kind of have a feel of like where you're going for your doctors and your journey. And thank you for being here, seriously. And thank you for taking the time to talk.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here, and I love that you're from this area too. Thank
Same. Have fun in Hudson today. Oh my God.
you. Midwest is the
Yes. Okay. I'll give you that. I love
best.
Nashville. I love it here. But yeah, there is something special about the Midwest.
Amazing. Well, thank you for having me, and what you're doing is so important.
Thank you. You too. And we'll stay connected. Hopefully back on TikTok. But
I'll see you on YouTube.
yes. Bye.
Bye.
That'll do it for this episode. Sarah, thank you so much for being open and vulnerable and taking the space to share your journey. Follow her on Instagram and TikTok, Sarah Nicole. I will link that all in the bio, as well as always, follow, rate, subscribe, Sick I Swear Podcast, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. Head over to the website, sickiswearpodcast.com. Drop me a DM, send me a message. Let's get these journeys rolling. We'll see you next time.